afternoon, and welcome to the pre-Christmas episode of We the People Radio. Just in case we air this at a different time and you're going, what's the Christmas music? It's December 19th. So we don't know what you're doing where you are, but we hope it's going well for you and that you're ignoring all the hysteria about the Rona. And,
yeah, it's a lot of bah humbug there.
A lot of Rona madness, although I am noticing in our area that the mask mandate is just roundly being ignored. And you know, it's interesting. I don't see people dropping over.
No.
So that's good. I shouldn't joke about it. Probably some people have. Sorry about that if your people did. I think we all lost some people this last year. There was a lot of that going on for a variety of reasons. Let's see. So, Bill, what do you have for us today?
We have a sponsor.
We
don't have a sponsor, but our sponsor this hour.
We have the one we like to talk about. How's that?
We have
one we like to promote. We have all these other people who chip in, which is really cool. And they do that through the website.
Yeah. So our sponsor is Pape Machinery, our local John Deere ag and turf dealer. And Pape has everything to do with John Deere. If you need a tractor, a mower, an implement, parts, service, give them a call. 226-9226. They also have Honda power products and Steel power products. You can go up there. They have a fairly good inventory of both. It's got generators, mowers, weed whackers. What do they call them over in Europe?
Whippersnippers.
Whippersnippers,
yes. We learned that last week.
Yeah.
You want to cut your weeds in Australia, you're going to have to buy yourself a whippersnipper.
A whippersnipper, yeah. And they do have those in stock as well. So give them a call or catch them on the web at papemachinery.com.
Ta-da.
There you go.
And if you missed the show about the whippersnipper, it really wasn't about the whippersnipper. It was about how cannabis in all forms basically takes a whippersnipper to your chromosomes. So we joke, but it was not necessarily a laughing matter. And that was 2 weeks ago here in December, and that was with Dr. Stuart Reese. Very interesting. You should tell a friend. So if you have people that are still thinking that, you know, CBD and that kind of non-THC forms of cannabis are good and aren't going to hurt you, nah, they're still going to give you cancer and all sorts of other stuff. And there's apparently quite a body of science about that we have been,
not reporting on.
Hidden.
I
looked at the dates on a lot of those reports. It was like 2018, 2019, 2015. Thinking, really? Pay pretty close attention.
Well,
Where the heck is all that?
You start advertising all that stuff, and you know it's going to cut way back on their tax base. So, not really, because I guess
it's all being grown by cartels out here.
Yeah,
so
nobody's paying the taxes.
It's going to hurt the cartels.
Yeah. So why don't you go ahead and report
wouldn't
on
do
it?
That. So first hour, we're going to go to Ohio today. Not going to go to Australia. Sorry. No. Well, I don't know if Mark has an accent. He might have an accent.
Yeah. Watch out.
So far, no accent. He is a Senate candidate for the state of Ohio running to fill a vacancy. We'll let him tell us all about that. His name, easy for me to say, is Mark Paquita. He is a successful entrepreneur who has embodied hard work done right his entire life. In 1996, he started a company, Fast Switch, with only $1,000. Kind of just that story, you know. I do want to hear more about that. That small investment created thousands of good-paying jobs. He earned his success, and he will again. His life is a testimony to the value of focus and accomplishment. And he's the American dream, and he's mad as hell that the rudderless government and a chaotic culture are now blocking honest citizens from living their American dream. And amen to that.
Amen.
Isn't that the truth? He grew up on the East Coast and moved to Ohio in 1976. He has a degree with honors from The Ohio State University. Mark lives in Dublin, Ohio, and is a proud grandparent to two grandsons and wants Ohio families to be proud to raise their children and grandchildren here. And I'll spell his last name for you in case you want to look him up. It's P, like Paul, U-K-I-T-A. So his assistant told me it's like Chiquita with a P. And I was like, oh, thanks for that. I'll always remember that. Mark, so how's it going in Ohio today?
It's going well. Thanks for having me, Erin.
Yeah, sure. And tell me this, where'd you grow up on the East Coast?
So my dad worked for IBM during a time where those three initials stood for I'm being moved.
Yeah, so my dad worked for Travelers, which meant you were going to...
Yeah. Yeah, you were going to travel, right? I wanted to come on with a mate when you were talking about the whippersnapper thing, but it didn't do that. So it was upstate New York, New Jersey, Maryland, up and down the East Coast multiple times, and I ended up in high school in Poughkeepsie, New York. So there really is a Poughkeepsie, New York.
Yeah, see, and I grew up in West Hartford. We moved from Seattle because we worked for Travelers, of course, and moved to the home office in Hartford. And then I left and moved back. We all moved back out here because he stopped working for Travelers but still switched coasts, I guess. And we did that in like 77, 78, something like that. So we've been traveling similar roads.
Yeah, West Hartford's a really nice kind of gentrified area now. I don't know if you've been back there, but it's they've done a really job.
Yeah, our house is still white with black shutters and a red door because it's considered socially inappropriate to make any kind of change.
Right.
You're not actually allowed to do that.
Yeah. I didn't suggest that there weren't social justice warriors there, but they've done a good job of kind of cleaning things up, so that's good.
Yeah, West Hartford was a fun place to grow up, and considering that it was a suburb of a big city, the only thing was we'd see two kids coming from downtown on one bike, and you knew they were leaving on two bikes. That was our initiation to crime.
Nice.
And it was true every time too. We'd be like, "Look out, two kids on a bike!" So everybody'd have to grab their bikes and make sure that they were safe. Otherwise, they were going to be taken downtown.
Unbelievable.
So I know some things never change. Okay, so Fast Switch, tell us that. That's a technology company.
Yeah, so Fast Switch is an IT staffing company.
Okay.
That I started in 1996 and grew for 20-plus years and sold at the end of 2019. At the time I sold it, it was about $100 million in revenue annually, about 800 employees, but over 20 years, we employed thousands of people. So I got to see firsthand how the government can keep small businesses from prospering, and I think we're seeing right now an absolutely orchestrated attempt to take out small businesses because small business people are the furthest thing from being dependent on the government.
Yep.
And Brandon does not want us to be independent of the government.
No, because you could take $1,000 and go make something else.
Right, right. Yeah, so that's the company. I sold it to my two key managers, and they chose to split the company up kind of half and half. And those two companies that it became are prospering. And it's, you know, it's the American dream. It's I live the American dream. I am proud to say that I, in my company, created 5 or 6 millionaires. That's one of the greatest accomplishments that I think I could do. And these were people from humble backgrounds, as I was. And I'm just, the reason I'm running for the U.S. Senate, you didn't ask me, but the reason I'm running for the U.S. Senate is because I do not believe that my grandchildren will have the same opportunity to live the American dream that I did. And I know that sounds trite. There are a lot of candidates out there that talk about this, but listen, my grandfathers were coal miners in Scranton, Pennsylvania. My parents had outhouses when they were kids. I grew up in a lower middle class family. I mean, I've got the receipts to show that a lower middle class kid keeping your nose clean and doing all the things that we were told as kids we should do, if you do them and be successful, that's, you know, that was how it was supposed to work. Now people are telling us that we're bigots, we're racists, and we're wrong, and that's just unacceptable to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you're right. And your current senator, I didn't do any homework on that, but how long has he been there? You just don't ever hear about him, and I realize there are 100 of them, and, you know, to be fair, not everybody, you know, captures the limelight unless they do something bad. But, so he's not running, and what, like, kinds of stuff would you change or do differently?
Yeah. Virtually everything. Rob Portman is a career politician. He is what I would call a swamp rhino. For example, he was all for the quote-unquote bipartisan infrastructure bill. Rob grew up with a silver spoon in his mouth, went to an Ivy League school, went to Michigan Law School, practiced law for a couple, 3 years, and then went right into politics and has been there ever since.
Hmm.
And he realized, a year or so ago that there's no way Ohioans are going to reelect him, so he quit. He's quitting. He's not retiring. He's quitting. And it's because he's just been ineffective. He hasn't done a single thing Ohioans sent him to do. He's not a conservative. We're a state that is trending more and more red, and Rob is trending more and more blue.
Mm.
And I think that's – I know I got in this race to primary him because of that back in October of 2019. I'm the only candidate of literally a football team-sized field right now who was willing to stand up and primary a sitting U.S. senator with the kind of money and clout Portman has. Everybody else got in, as my campaign team likes to say, everybody else got in after it was cool. It wasn't cool within the Ohio Republican Party or the Republican Party in general to be primarying a sitting U.S. senator. But I believe these are the kind of things, Aaron and Bill, these are the kind of things that we have to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like I really want to do this in the sense that this was not on my bucket list. I mean, you can go back and look at my social media, anything. There isn't a single person in the world that would tell you, oh, yeah, Mark has always had his eye on being a candidate for something. The only thing I've had my eye on being a candidate for is grandparents. That's it.
Right? And you're elected.
yeah, exactly. And that happened. And I feel incredible about that. But I am not feeling good about the future of the country. Not at all.
Now, are you being supported by the Republican Party in Ohio?
Oh, not at all.
Okay.
Right? Because I'm an outsider and they're insiders. And that's a great question because that's a segue into the one of the mantras of my campaign. I decided if we're going to run, we're just not going to run to get me elected. This is bigger than me. This is saving the republic kind of effort. And so along the way, in trying to get elected, we're also trying to leave Ohio better. And part of that is exposing the extreme corruption in the Ohio Republican Party. And it is terrible here. We are arguably the most corrupt state Republican Party in the nation. We are I'm sure you've all heard about the First Energy Larry Householder, $61 million fraud, having to do with primary elections. The FBI, people have been indicted. It took the FBI to get engaged in that.
Wow.
But we've got a laundry list of corruption in Ohio, and it goes back to to the Ohio Republican Party. We've got a $2 million accounting irregularity that Bob Poduchek, the chairman of the party, and Dave Johnson, the treasurer of the party, refused to have audited by an outside audit firm, even though the Ohio Republican Party bylaws call for an audit every year. And it's been 16 years since the books have been audited.
Well, I don't tell you something.
Wow, nothing to see here.
Yeah, grassroots Republicans deserve to see where that money was going. I'm not suggesting people put it in their pockets. But I think it went to campaigns of people that Ohio grassroots America First conservative Republicans would be shocked and stunned. And so we're just pushing on that. And I'm doing it to show how vigorously I will fight and work for Ohioans when I get to Washington. Because my other competitors are silent on this topic. And if they are silent because they're afraid of the Ohio Republican Party, or they think that this is okay, then I have news for them. Grassroots, conservative, America First Republicans are not happy with this. And it is a key differentiator for me from everybody else in the race.
So if you are elected, would you have the power to make any changes on that front? And if so, what would you do?
Well, I think, I mean, that's a good question because, you know, as you started, I think Aaron said, you know, you don't hear about every senator because there are 100 of them, and you don't hear about every House, you know, representative because
sure.
there are 435 of them. But what I've said is I can't do this alone. So what I envision is an America First caucus in Washington made up of citizen candidates like me, people who have never run for office before, are doing it to go serve and not prosper, want to make change, and quite frankly are really angry about what's going on. I think that the number, if we can get 15 to 25 of those people across both chambers in Washington, we can affect this kind of change and drive it into our states with the proper governors and legislatures elected in those states. So, for example, in Ohio, what I would foresee is a new governor. Mike DeWine is our current governor. He's running for reelection. He deserves to be investigated, not reelected. His hands are all over this First Energy deal. So I would expect that we would have a more conservative America First governor in place when I get to Washington. And we have people here who are fed up with a feckless, cowardly Ohio legislature that is all at the end of the leash that Mike DeWine holds. So I expect that there's going to be lots of turnover, and I would be working with them to do things like this, Bill.
Okay, hold that thought, Mark. I don't want to
go ahead.
Break you midstream, but we've got to take a quick break and thank our sponsors, play a little Christmas music, come right back. That's pretty much the order of things.
Great.
You're listening to We the People. You can find everything about the show, including archives of all of our programs going back like 11 years at wethepeopleradio.us. Oh, sorry, Bill.
Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Let your heart be light. From now on, our troubles will be out of sight. Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Make the Yuletide gay.
Make the Yuletide gay.
From now on, our troubles will be miles away. Here we are as in olden days, happy golden days of yore.
Said the shepherd boy to the mighty king, do you know what I know? In your palace warm, mighty king, do you know what I know? A child, shivers in the cold. Let us bring him silver and gold. Let us bring him silver and gold.
Frank, a little Bing. Very Christmassy. Okay, Mark, sorry. Back on track.
No worries. So working hand-in-hand, I think, with a governor and a legislature that's of the right ilk, we can do things like nullify unconstitutional dictates from the federal government to Ohio and other states. Just basically say we're not going to adhere to them, like some states have done with illegal immigration placements and things like that. And also unfunded mandates, things of that nature. So that's the way I believe a senator working as an advocate for his or her state can help that state in D.C. And then on top of that, I'm a real small government, we've got to cut spending candidate. We're
finally
printing money like Venezuela,
yep.
Right? And we're monetizing the debt, and everybody's 401k is going to be worthless. I mean, it may be you know, 6 or 7 digits, but it'll be worthless, and we've got to stop it. We just have to stop it. So I think that's the way we can work. But in Washington, working together with 15 to 25 other America First kind of folks, I think we can move the party back to its base principles, just like the squad did with 4 or 5 relatively unintelligent, loudmouth squad members. Instead, we've got an America First group team that's going to take the country in the right direction because we're smart. We're willing to call out people in our own party who are not acting like Republicans, which is a lot of them, and just, you know, do the same kind of thing, but, you know, in our seats rather than their seats.
Exactly. Because, you know, that's a really good point. They've, when you talk about the squad, a relatively small number of unknown, newly elected liberals have basically taken over and transformed the Democratic Party, and
they've gotten them to sign on to, you know, full communism.
Yeah,
and almost had them ready to pound the gavel for, you know, what was it going to be, five to ten trillion in reality their Build Back Better bill that was free, the news out today is that basically it's dead. So got to hold our breath till the third of January, but. After the 3rd of January, we should throw a party for Joe Manchin.
Yeah, I was going to say, think about this, Joe Manchin. He is the most important human being in our country.
Yeah.
Right?
It's true.
Joe
How Manchin. Frightening is that? One guy.
Right. And that is not any opinion on Joe Manchin. It's just a comment on where he is in terms of our country and how poorly we are governed. We are governed so poorly. And I know we've all said this, but it's true. If you pick 537 names out of a hat of American citizens of majority age, they would do a better job in Washington than the 537 people we have sitting there today. Because there'd be no corruption. Corruption is, I believe, at the heart of every problem we've got.
Yeah, you can't ever rule out just stupidity too. I mean, there's that because in some of this, you know, they tell them, well, it's free because we're going to do this and this and this and this, and I mean, there are still people that think that, you know, giving everybody everything is going to create wealth. I don't know any ideology that can take root without some stupidity thrown in.
Well,
like
that
you know,
I
on
think,
the topic like that.
Yeah, and I think so many of them have never really, well, first of all, a lot of them have never really had a real job, but they've never owned a business. They've never run a business. Right. They don't know what it takes to keep the doors open. And if they did, they'd know that a lot of this stuff they're handing down is totally detrimental to small business.
Well, and let's not forget my favorite topic. The problem is people keep electing them.
Yeah.
So really, right. We point the finger at members of Congress like they elect each other. But in reality, when you go back to their district, California is a great example in a terrifying way. I mean, we finally get rid of Barbara Boxer, you know, widely held as the dumbest member of the U.S. Senate. And we pick Kamala Harris.
Yeah.
And then we offload her for Alex Padilla. It's like, what the heck?
Yeah. So the best of the best.
So there's, I mean, we actually, you know, we actually got rid of somebody that we wanted to get rid of. And what'd we do? We doubled down and lowered the bar. And we're seeing that in our legislature, our state legislature as well. Same thing is happening.
Yeah, it really is our fault. It's unfortunate, but. So this is something we wrestle with every day. How do we deal with low-information voters?
Mm-hmm.
And social media and mass media have absolutely worked to allow the Democrats and swamp rhino Republicans to take advantage of that low-information because they're not educating like they used to back in the day. And social media did for a while, and the minute they figured out that we could use social media to call out candidates who were saying one thing in Cincinnati in the morning, another thing in Columbus at lunch, and another thing in Cleveland in the evening, sharing on social media because that was pervasive, and the Enquirer in Cincinnati was only read by Cincinnatians for the most part, and the Dispatch here in Columbus and the Plain Dealer in Cleveland. The minute they started to see, I believe, that we had this kind of underground media, you know, independent media.
Sure.
They shut that down as fast as they could because now you can't lie your way into a candidate. You can't lie your way into getting legislation passed that's good for, you know, big corporate America but bad for citizens. And it seems like every time we find a way as conservatives to communicate, they want to shut it down. I mean, think about what they're doing to parents and school boards. Right?
Yeah.
They want to use the Patriot Act and make us domestic terrorists.
It's kind of great though, because don't you look back, we've got to be all of us around the same age. If you were going to school in the high school in the 70s and Bill was and I was, you know, yep. We're all around the same age. And in that time, if you think about that, we created a giant crop of Republicans because Jimmy Carter was such a dummy. And he had such bad policies. And who was sitting with the family car in the gas line? It was the teenagers. I remember that vividly. Yep. And it was like, you've got to be kidding me. I never forgot it. That always informed my political information.
You just brought up a really bad memory for me because I remember those days, and I remember how mad I was that I had to wait in line for gas, and when I finally got to the pump and filled up my car, it was $12, and that was outrageous. back then. Now it's $100. I mean, what is going on?
Right.
You know?
People ask me, you know, you're an assistant candidate, you've never run for office before, you know, how informed are you on these issues? And I'm like, listen, I've been, like many people, I've been like a policy nerd, a political nerd for a long time. And when I think back to when it started, it was those Jimmy Carter.
Yeah.
That was it. People say, what's your furthest memory back? And I'm like, well, I do remember those dumb buttons that, you know, win with inflation now. But I was fairly young at that time. The whole lines of Jimmy Carter, I'm thinking to myself, we are a country, you know, because we used to teach history and geography back then.
Oh, yeah.
So kids knew where the resources were. And I'm like, we've got oil. That was when the Alaska oil pipeline was being built and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
So we've got an oil industry in Alaska that's massive. We've got an oil industry in Texas that's massive. And when I get to college in Ohio, I realize that Ohio has tremendous, you know, fossil fuel resources. And I'm like, how in the world can a country like ours be sitting here without enough gas? Just made no sense to me. And it still makes no sense to me when we run into these shortages, but we now know that Ross Perot was right.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That giant sucking sound.
But isn't it great that that skewed our view going forward for a long time? And so as screwed up as things are, it still makes me happy thinking about how many of our people are being basically imprinted forever by the stupid policies these guys are doing, because whenever they get in charge, they get into power, they go too far, they go too fast, and they blow themselves up, pretty much in that order.
No thought. Yeah, no critical thinking, just ideological blind thinking, and that's exactly what they do. It's all everything we're living through right now are self-inflicted wounds, and you can go to the virus.
Yeah. So
if we weren't funding things like gain-of-function research, perhaps that wouldn't have happened, right? So we can't say for sure, but it sure seems to me like we shot ourselves in the foot here, and I would like to think we'd be smart enough, but I don't know these days to keep from doing it again.
Yeah, I'm not sure either, but you look at what happened to the Democratic Party at the hands of the squad. They have blown up, and you know, in fairness, same thing happened in 2010 when the Tea Party Republicans came in. They wouldn't accept right. anything but perfection, so we didn't get that much done back then. And the squad, with their hard left ideological stuff, they blocked tons of stuff that the, I'll call them the regular Democrats, not that there's all that many of them left, but that they wanted, and they couldn't get anything done because it wasn't far enough left for the other guys, and now they're watching all their stuff go into the dumpster. So we just have to keep from doing that again, you know, swinging it so far the other way that actually we become incredibly ineffective as well.
Let me ask the two of you a question.
Yeah.
Do you really think, do you think that Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer want to be as far left as they are today?
No, I don't.
Yeah. No, I
so
don't.
So think about that.
They have no choice.
I'm just going to call them four or five dummies took those people who were supposed to be sophisticated career politicians and absolutely snookered them. Just shut them down.
Well, you know, that's
incredible.
Funny. They made the classic mistake. It was like they got all enamored with young people. Oh, look, we must have young people. Look, we have them. We have the young people. Aren't they magical? And then it was like, oh, God, our young people are crazy.
And now, very educated.
And now we fluffed them up and put them on the front of the thing. And now what are we going to tell everybody?
Right.
Oops, our young people are nutballs.
Right. Yeah, that, I mean, what else could they say? Really?
Yeah. Whoops.
I mean, and laugh. But what more could they say? They can't say, well, they were just a little misguided. No,
yeah.
A lot.
Well, actually, what they're saying is, you know, I'm busy. I'm not going to run again.
Yeah, but
I basically don't want to get hit by the swinging door.
You still have to remember they're getting reelected by the same people. You know, I mean, that's...
I would have put money that Ocasio-Cortez could not have gotten reelected. I'm like, okay, once maybe, but that's just, that was just an accident.
Yeah. So there's plenty of people out there that believe in a lot of this stuff.
Well, Hank Johnson's still in office. The guy who thought Guam was going to tip over. So.
Oh, dear Lord.
Yeah. If you put too many troops on Guam, he asked the admiral in a hearing. Remember that? Aren't you concerned that the island may be destabilized? It's like, oh, my God, is he saying it might tip over? Yeah, they have elected him, what, 5-6 more times? In Atlanta. Yeah. So the parents in Ohio, Mark, are the parents in Ohio like, okay, that's it. Now we're going to play now. We've been busy, but we're not busy now.
Yeah.
Oh, shoot.
And I don't know if you're going to, like, the CRT thing and schools and all the rest. So the answer there is yes. And that's another one of these things we're working on in our Leave Ohio Better Than We Found It. It's been fixing education.
Oh, I like that. Leave Ohio Better Than We Found It. You're like the Cub Scouts and the Girl Scouts before all the social engineering took them out in the olden days.
Do they exist anymore?
Yeah. They're there, anymore? But, you know, now they're environmentalists. And, yeah, anyway.
Got
to take a really, really quick break, and we'll come right back with you, okay? And I'm sorry, we'll let you talk the whole rest of the way. This is just so much fun to chitter-chatter about stuff we all think about all week. So we'll be right back. You're listening to We the People, and you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us. Good job, Bill.
No, thanks.
They said there'll be snow at Christmas. They said there'll be peace on earth. But instead it just kept on raining. Veil of tears for the virgin birth. I remember one Christmas morning, a winter's light and the distant choir, the peal of a bell on that Christmas tree smell, and eyes full of tinsel and fire. I wish you a hopeful Christmas. I wish you a brave new year. All anguish, pain and sadness, leave your heart and let your road be clear. They said there'd be snow at Christmas. They said there'd be peace on earth. Hallelujah, Noel, be hail and all hell. The Christmas we get we deserve.
Oh. kind of a political Emerson, Lake, and Palmer. The Christmas we get, we deserve.
Yeah.
Yikes. Kind of like our representatives.
Ouch.
Yeah, we should make better choices there. So, Mark, what besides everything, what have we not covered that you would like to tell people?
I would tell people that I think one of the main points I would like to be able to get across and educate people on is something you mentioned, that we will continue to get the same performance.
Yeah.
In Washington and in Columbus, if we keep hiring the same type of people. If we keep hiring career politicians that are pushed down on us by the party, who have demonstrated to us, have told us who they are, right, with their actions and their words, yet we believe the last act they put on, the last act of the play, they managed to convince us that all the rest of the things we saw were just figments of our imagination. We elect them, and then they stop acting when they get to Washington, and we're surprised. And so I would say the facades, the caricatures, the actors, we have got to stop electing them.
Yeah.
And I, for example, am getting told I'm too contentious, I'm too provocative because I'm calling this stuff out, but we need some fighters in Washington. And the only thing those people are fighting for there right now, most of them, is improving their net worth. They don't give a rip about their states or their country. I mean, we've seen that. And I'm talking both sides of the aisle. It just angers me and frustrates me.
Yeah. And, you know, a hot tip for people, you know, a lot of times people say, well, I don't ever have a chance to meet any of these people. How do I know if they're good or bad? Because all I know is, you know, what I get in the mail and what I hear in the media and whatnot. You know, I learned quite a while back that if you go and meet their staff, meet their campaign people, make it a point to go to their campaign headquarters, make a phone call. I mean, you just do it from home if you're not near one of their headquarters. Go to, you know, go to their website, make a phone call, see if they're nice. Do they call you back? Are they nice? Because most people hire people like themselves.
Right.
It's a really, it's a really good way to get a little sneak preview into who this person would be as a boss.
In every event, I say, here's my personal cell number, 614-499-0599. Call me. And I get very few calls.
Isn't that funny?
614-499-0599. You want to understand who I am and what I'm about, I'll talk to you personally. But I do get very few calls. It's not, people think you're going to put your number out there and, oh my gosh, you're going to be swamped. Low information voters are a problem for us. We've got to get people more engaged. That's something where we work on diligently. Bring a friend to a meeting. Get a friend to listen to your show, right? Some people, your listeners should be trying to get other people to listen to your show. We have got to do this virally. I don't see any other way because it's the mainstream media is not going to help us. Social media shuts us down. It's going to have to be person to person connection in a network of human beings. And we're going to have to all focus on getting ourselves educated.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. I think particularly with social media, they're calling the shots. I mean, they have got the money and the means to put whatever message they want out there over and over and over again. And the low-information voters are soaking it up. And this is what we get. And it's exactly what they wanted. And you're right. Yep. I think it's going to take person-to-person communication to offset what they're doing to this country. And plus, I think, and I don't know how you feel about this, but I think these social media outlets, and we all know who they are, they need to be regulated. They're not, they're not regulated like well, everybody else.
Yeah, they're allowed. They're allowed a lot of latitude that you wouldn't get elsewhere. You can't sue them and all
that.
Yeah,
that has to change.
Yeah, and that was a special exemption given to them in Section 230 of the Federal Communication Act. I've got a 21-point policy card. People can go to my website, markthenumber4ohio.com/policy. Again, that's markthenumber4ohio.com/policy. On it, we talk about social media and free speech. And my policy I would drive for in Washington would be this. Social media companies can make a choice. They can waive their exemption under Section 230 and be sued by people like us who find what they do to us to be tortious. Or they can be regulated like a utility, right? Look at utilities. If a cell phone, what cell phone supplier could come to you, Bill, and say, you know, Bill, we're taking your phone back because we don't like some of the stuff you're writing about or talking about. We don't like your politics, so we're taking your phone back. Or, Aaron, we're going to shut off your gas because, you know, we hear that you're a conservative Republican, right?
Yep, that's you're in there forwarding memes about Joe Biden.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
God, there's so many.
Yeah. Right? So that would be my solution. There are plenty of others, right? But that one doesn't require much legislation. That's a couple pages, hopefully. And it doesn't require any more, thank goodness, regulation.
Right.
We've got 175,000 pages of regulation, most of them conflicting with regulations from the same department, right? So Medicare, Center for Medicare Services, has its own regulations conflicting. So you have a problem and you're talking, they're like, oh, I don't know. You know, I don't know what this means. This is just, we've gotten to the point of idiocracy. We're past idiocracy, if you've seen that movie.
I don't know. I go to a lot of Brondo meetings. I do attend many, many meetings regarding Brondo. And if you haven't seen Idiocracy, actually, it has become, it's actually, you used to watch it as a comedy, but now we watch it as a documentary. It's terrifying.
I like that, yeah.
Yeah, well, the guy who made the movie, he put that out in a tweet, like, I think it was seriously like 4 or 5 years ago. It was a while ago. And he said, you know, I made this movie for fun. I had no idea that it was going to be a documentary in the future. It's like, well, I think that actually the reproductive part at the very, very beginning, that's starting to mirror a lot of what we're seeing.
Oh, my goodness, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. It's crazy. And you know, I guess there might be people, I should have said this at the beginning, there might be people who are thinking, you know, why are you guys having a Senate candidate out from Ohio? It's like, hey, I got a hot tip for you. There are people running all over the country, and every person who's running, every person we talk to, gives you an idea of what you might ask the person who lives near you if you don't live in Ohio.
Correct.
Still useful.
And I would say that what I said before about needing a caucus of people who are American First conservative Republicans who are citizen candidates who aren't wrapped up in this career politician nonsense, you know, you've got to go find them around the country. And even if you're in California or you're in Ohio, you've got to back them. You need to talk about them with people who are in their state, who are your relatives, your friends, your business contacts, but you also need to send them some money. I don't care if it's $5. You've got to show them some support because the party is fighting us, every one of us, because our party is part of this codependent cesspool of corruption. We have got to have an absolutely definitive change in the Republican Party. To get back to conservative principles, get out of this thought that we've got to be nice and bipartisan and work with the other side. Every time we've done that in the past 50 years, we've gotten screwed.
Yeah.
We need to pull
some of it. We have to. I mean, you have some of it that depending on the numbers, you really do wind up having to do that. But we seem to have lost the ability And we've actually done some shows on it for why there's no communication across the aisle. They used to do, they used to have a lot of trips and stuff together. And when they cut the budget hard in like 2010, I think it was, they cut out all that kind of stuff. So the only time these people ever see each other is in a committee meeting or something like that where it's contentious. They don't know each other. And I guess that's something that if you were going to push would be find out who some of these people are. I mean, the Joe Manchins of the world. I mean, that guy's been a great ally. I'm sure a lot of our guys have been talking to him, I would hope. I know they try to get him to switch over.
I think as a leader, like I was a CEO for a long time, and you've only got a limited amount of time in your day to get things done. And you've got to have great discernment about who to spend time with and who not. So while I agree with you that relationships make this thing go, having a relationship with a fool doesn't do you any good.
Yeah, no, I'm not suggesting you have to be friends with everyone, but you should at least go figure out who you can work with, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you don't have to be...
There aren't that many of them, I don't think. That's the problem. I mean, there might be if we see a sea change in the 2022 election. But, I mean, who would you list as the people to go talk to in D.C.? I'm going to bet you can only come up with like 10 people.
Well, it's kind of interesting because most of the people that are good people that are there working, doing the right thing, are not people you're going to hear about. They're not the guys that are going to be on the 6 o'clock news. And they're also the people who are not prolific fundraisers. You know, we have a lot of people throw the baby out with the bathwater. If you're in office, you must be corrupt, horrible, and greedy. And it's like, well, you know, it's kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy. If we keep saying that, that's who we'll keep getting. So we might want to figure out.
Yeah, because there's obviously good ones out there. And
might want to figure out who they are first,
You don't make it easy for smart and good people to run for office if once they get there, they're grouped in with all the knuckleheads that are in there. Because there are some good ones, and I think there's some decent folks on both sides. But that being said, you're correct. On the liberal side, I can't think of very darn many that I think I could have a conversation with.
Joe's a big hero today. We'll stick with Joe.
Yeah, that's about it.
Go, Joe. Yeah,
I've got to tell you, I didn't think I would ever say this, but Kristen Sinema's she's very interesting.
Yeah, you know what? That's true. That's another one. She's messed up their plans too. And you know, you can't mess up their plans too much.
I didn't like Tulsi Gabbard's politics.
No, but she was a nice lady and smart.
Thinker.
Yeah.
A critical thinker. And she would have a debate with you, I believe, rather than an argument.
Right. And she wasn't one to be like all tossing names and being a lunatic either.
Yeah.
Hey, Mark, we've hit the end of the rope here.
Gosh.
Dang, we should have done 2 hours. We could have talked forever. If you want to come on again, you guys get a hold of us and we'll do some more as you go down the campaign trail.
We'll do that. Yeah, you guys are awesome. Thanks so much for having me on. Every little bit of earned media, no matter where it is in the country, helps us.
Awesome. Mark 4, the number 4, Ohio.com is his website.
Okay.
Thanks so much.
Bye, Mark.
Thank you, Mark.
Win.
Yep.